Make me laugh during the break. Q. Brett and Q back here on Sportsline on WBAL. Jay Cottrell in the house. And now Jer Bell is in the house. JB, what's going on?
Oh, man, just getting ready for this big trip to New Orleans.
Where you staying at? You downtown?
Yeah,
French
I'm by the convention center. The convention center will be the hub for the media anyway.
Right.
In terms of, you know, whether I guess you guys will be set up at Radio Row and, you know, workspaces for, like, a gazillion newspapers and
right.
other organizations and TV stuff set up. So there'll be a lot of activity. But, you know, New Orleans is the best place ever to have a Super Bowl, okay? Because everything is so close mm-hmm. together in terms of where you'll go for, you know, restaurants, of course. You have to eat and partying and things mm-hmm. of that nature.
Yep,
and
yep.
the team hotels are just within a few blocks from each other. So, like, when they have those daily press conferences, the thing that I like about it is that you really don't have to get on a bus, you know,
right.
a media bus and go, you know, 20-30 minute drive to go to the press sessions. You know, you can just walk. And I think the first session each day, except for the big Tuesday media day, but the first session at the team hotels, I think, with the 49ers will go like from, I want to say, 8 o'clock in the morning to 9.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you can like hang out in New Orleans and then don't have to worry about taking a 6:30 a.m. bus. But, you know, that's for the people who would do something like that. Not for me, of course.
Of course. And JB, what number Super Bowl is this for you to cover?
You know what? Jay mentioned that to me when I, I picked up the phone a few minutes ago, and I got to count. It's like it's 20-something.
Wow.
My first Super Bowl was Super Bowl 22, and I missed two since then. Because, you know, so Super Bowl 22 was the Doug Williams Super Bowl. And
oh,
that was
wow,
my
that's
first
a good
Super
one.
Bowl. Yeah, yeah. And then
great
I didn't
one,
go to 23, and I went to 24, and I didn't go to 25, and then I've been to every one since 26. So somebody quick, some math major out there.
I'm not that smart, JB.
So I've been to a few.
Let me ask you this. When you look at the Super Bowl, what's the biggest obstacle that teams have had to overcome as far as, you know, the prep compared to the prep that would go forth in a regular season game or even a playoff game?
Yeah, it's the distractions, I mean, obviously. And those distractions can come in a lot of different ways because – I think the teams and the 49ers and the Ravens are doing it this week where they're, you know, back home putting in their game plans. And, you know, in fact, some teams, like, they'll have the assistant coaches stay back when they fly to a city sometimes and still doing last-minute stuff in game preparation. So they try to do as much of the, you know, the game strategy stuff before they go. But the distractions come with just everything that comes with Super Bowls, not only the media sessions, the buzz around the place, but, you know, you can't go anywhere without, you know, a lot of commotion and that sort of thing. And then I think one thing that guys have to deal with is just they've got family people coming in for the games, and so they have to, you know, they'll probably have done all this by now or definitely by the time they get there in terms of making sure all their people have hotel rooms and tickets and all that stuff. But, you know, you can always have a hassle if, you know, something happens. Remember last year, OC Umanura didn't show up for one of the media
the morning
sessions.
Ones, yeah.
Yeah, and it was kind of like, I had to go pick up my people at the airport and so on and so forth. So you just get different stuff that you have to deal with that you might not have to deal with.
Now let me ask you this. Doug Williams, did he ever say what kind of tree he was?
A brown one. Yeah, that was the one thing that you remember about that. You know, Doug Williams was the first black quarterback to win a Super Bowl, and, you know, hey, that was the news of the deal. The other thing about that, though, was the fact that Doug Williams had, like, just had, like, root canal surgery or something, like, the day before the game or something crazy like that. He had this, you know, this crazy tooth situation going on. So he was in a lot of pain, you know, leading up to, you know, his big day. So he had to deal with that personal issue. And
wow.
He hadn't played that great game. That's pretty amazing, though. But, you know, and so the other thing with distractions, too, it's like we've had so many situations where something happened with a guy, like, that was crazy off the field.
Right.
And you get closer to the game. You know,
Robbins.
Yeah.
Eugene.
Yeah, Eugene Robinson, you know, Stanley Wilson with the Bengals.
Stanley, yeah.
Drugs situation. You know, so those things, it's like, why do they happen Super Bowl week versus, you know, other weeks? I mean, there's stuff that happens during the course of the year, but you always wonder kind of, you know, what goes through, you know, the minds of people. And I guess it might be related to just the pressure. I mean, you're at that moment, and maybe it's not the pressure, but it's the anticipation to get to that moment, and you get bored. I don't know. In each of those cases, you know, probably you could look at different factors, but that's something that, you know, obviously is part of Super Bowl history, if you will, in another regard.
And, JB, right now we know about the storylines of Ray Lewis and Joe Flacco and this offense and Jim Caldwell.
And the brothers.
And the brothers, of course. I was going to put that one in a separate category. It's taken on so much of life of its own.
Yes, it has.
And it will. All right, aside from the ones we just mentioned here in Baltimore, aside from John versus Jim, what are they talking about right now in San Francisco?
I don't have the foggiest clue to tell you to try to probably have a better idea, you know, once the team gets there, and then they won't be in San Francisco. I think one of the things that's interesting, though, with the 49ers is if you look at their history with the franchise. I mean, so this is the first time they've gotten back to this point since, you know, Jerry Rice was playing. And, you know, before that it was, you know, Joe, you know, they had Steve Young at quarterback the last time the 49ers went to the Super Bowl. But before that it was the Joe Montana and Bill Walsh era and all of that. So maybe it's a return to greatness for the 49ers. It's got to be something that that they've been hoping would happen, and it has ultimately happened.
I know when I look at this game, to do the improbable certainly has happened, but for both teams, it seems to have come on a bit of a change. For one, it was a quarterback. For another, it was a coordinator. Talk about how, you know, possibly that will play out this week as far as, you know, Cam Cameron no longer being and Jim Caldwell now in the seat of power, and then, of course, with the quarterbacks over at the 49ers with Kaepernick and Smith.
Yeah. And that will be something they'll talk about next week. And poor Alex Smith. He's got to come to those media sessions every day. And
Very Bledsoe Brady-esque.
Yes, indeed. And so, you know, he's probably had a little bit of practice already in terms of dealing with it and having people to ask him about it. But you know, that was a major change, because you saw where the 49ers, well, obviously everybody knows it was a major change, but you saw how far they got last year with Alex Smith. And now, you know, I don't think they win that game the other day in Atlanta with Alex Smith, okay? Maybe they could, you know, it's just, you know, pure speculation on my part, but that's the thing that Colin Kaepernick gives them, is just this, you know, energy to that offense that, you know, can, you know, get on a roll and can be tough to stop. So they needed it the other day, and their defense is obviously top-notch as well. But, you know, that was the big risk, and Jim Harbaugh took it. And then his brother takes another risk in switching his coordinator. How will that switch out? I mean, how will that turn out in the Super Bowl? It should be okay for the Ravens, because they've gotten this far. So, you know, you've kind of gone through the whole deal of how you use certain personnel, and you always have to adjust, obviously. And in the second half the other day, when they throw the ball three times and they're trying to run the clock out, I was kind of like wondering a little bit. But, you know, the one thing that they've done consistently since Caldwell became coordinator is really establish the running game. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like Ray Rice just got here, you know, 6 weeks ago, because I can think back to, what was it, last year, a couple years ago, when T. Sizzle and some of the others.
Oh, yeah. Ed Reed and all of them. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, got upset. That
was right before the New Orleans the New Orleans Saints game at home, and I actually took some heat because I went on radio and was just basically expressing kind of what they were saying, mm-hmm. and it looked like I was being, you know, a bad guy, and then it wound up turning out to be true, and he ran the ball and ran it effectively.
Yeah. So, you know, you got to have that balance, man. You know, Flacco and his thing. Boy, I really want to see how they attack San Francisco with their deep passing. I mean, that's the thing now. I get excited about the Ravens watching them on offense. So you saw what Julio Jones was able to do against the 49ers. And, you know, I bet you that tape is
it's circulating, you know, around. It's circulating around for sure.
Exactly.
JB, we got to run. Thank you so much. We'll see you in Nolens.
Okay. Hey, Appreciate it. Have a good one.
That's Jarrett Bell from USA Today. When we come back, Cam Cameron speaks out. That's next on Sportsline.